Does God have emotions? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We are currently in our series, Questions and Answers. You can get your questions answered by Bob and Sean by sending us an email to radio@faithalone.org. Well, I'm really excited about today's interesting question, so let's get right to it with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions. Sometimes we go through books of the Bible, sometimes we discuss theological topics, and sometimes we answer your questions, and that's what we're going to do today. This is a question from Jeff, and Jeff asks, why is it that in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 7, it says that God was grieved in his heart? What does that mean, that God was grieved in his heart?
Okay, that's a good question. Why don't we read that? Would you read the whole section?
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I know where this question comes from, because there are theological traditions that say God doesn't have any emotions whatsoever. And so what does this mean?
Well, clearly God has emotions. Here, God was grieved. We're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit when we're walking in sin. On top of that, we know that God experiences lots of emotions, joy and sadness and anger. Here, this is what we would call an anthropomorphism, and that's a fancy way of saying it's a figure of speech where God speaks as though he were a man.
Okay.
God knew before he created man that Adam and Eve were going to sin. What we didn't read was Genesis 6, 1 through 4, which talks about fallen angels, the sons of God, who intermarried with human women, the daughters of men, and they had offspring. This was horrendous, and so God decided he was going to destroy mankind and the animal life, except we needed to read verse 8 because it's an important contrast. But Noah found grace, that is favor, in the eyes of the Lord. So when we go on to read the story, what we find out, 1 Peter 3:20, that God saved Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws, so they could start over again.
Right.
And he also saved two of every kind of animal, mm-hmm. and seven of some animals, so that when they came out of the ark, mankind started over again. And so what is this God being grieved? Well, it's the Hebrew word nekam. I wrote my doctoral dissertation on repentance, and it's a related word to repentance. God was grieved, and so from a human standpoint, he changed his mind.
Yeah.
Now, in reality, since God's omniscient, God knew all of this was going to happen. But from a human standpoint, he decided to destroy everybody but Noah and his family and mm-hmm. to start over again. And so he did. Yes, this was actual grief that God had.
Well, why would he feel grief then if he knew all along this was going to happen? And in fact, it was his plan.
Well, in the same way that when Jesus went to the cross, there was great grief on all members of the Godhead, and God knew all along that there was going to be this grief.
Okay.
I mean, I know what you're saying. In one sense, it's like why wouldn't God create a world where there's no grief for him or anybody else?
I was thinking more like if I say I'm going to hit myself on the toe with a hammer and then I do it and then I feel sad about it. It's like, well, if you felt sad about it, why did you do it at all?
Except God didn't hit himself on the toe with a hammer. God allowed the humans which he created to damage themselves. And he was grieved by that. Maybe a better illustration would be this. Let's say you allow your son Zane to do some carpentry work around the house.
Right.
He hits his thumb with a hammer. There's blood, and he ends up, the nail turns black, and he's crying, and he's in a lot of pain for a while. Wouldn't you be grieved over that?
Right, yes.
Yeah. And in the same way, God allowed this to happen. He experienced grief over it, but it's all part of God's big plan.
Now, that comes into a related question, and this is a question from Elvis. Let's tie this question in with Jeff's question. Elvis asks, how far does God's sovereignty extend, and how far does human free will extend, and how does that affect whether or not our choices are real?
Okay, well, first of all, our choices are real. They're restricted, but they're real.
All right, so we have freedom, but it's not like total freedom. Some people say we don't have free will because you can't choose to fly if you want to.
Right.
Free will doesn't mean that you get to invent your own reality.
Right, and free will doesn't mean that you can violate God's word. In other words, nobody can destroy the planet. I don't care if you're the ruler of a major country like the United States or China, Russia, and you've got lots of nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. God's not going to allow anybody to destroy the planet. God's not going to allow anybody to destroy mankind. There's limited free will. Hitler wanted to destroy every Jew on planet Earth, and he set about to do it, and they killed 6 million Jewish people. Well, God allowed that, but God didn't allow him to destroy the Jewish race. And in fact, in an ironic twist, God used the Holocaust to establish the modern nation of Israel in 1948. And many people say the Holocaust was the deciding factor in Israel becoming a nation state and having its own sovereignty.
Right.
And it wouldn't have happened apart from the Holocaust. Now, why God allowed that, that's another big story, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But the truth is, God used it for good, and Israel is now a nation. It's a miracle that Israel withstood the initial, in 1948, the initial battle that resulted, and they were surrounded by armies much bigger than they were and everything else, and yet God delivered them.
Right.
And so there have been lots of miracles. God's sovereignty extends to everything that's within his character and nature. I mean, for example, God cannot lie. The scriptures tell us that.
So even God's sovereignty is limited.
Right.
It's limited by his character.
Well, he can't lie.
Right.
Right? He can't do anything which is contrary to it. He can't be unjust.
Right.
He can't do anything unjust.
He can't do evil.
He can't do evil. Right.
Right.
He can't do anything contrary to who he is.
Right.
Those are part of his immutable characteristics. In fact, immutability is one of his characteristics.
Right. I've heard some philosophers say, too, that, you know, God's power is limited also by what is logically possible, although that's not really a limit. And they'll say something, some people will say, well, can God make a square circle? And someone will say, no, because that's illogical. It doesn't even make sense. So
right.
that's not a lack in God. That means the question doesn't even make sense.
Right.
And so God has to do what's logically possible.
Right. And right now in this life, we might think we have unlimited free will, but we don't.
Right.
We don't see the hand of God and how he restricts our free will, and we should be glad he restricts our free will. Imagine if God wasn't ruling nations. You know, we're told in the Psalms that the king's heart is in the hands of God, and that the rulers of these countries are in the hands of God. Well, if willy-nilly God just allowed mankind to do whatever it would do, we might have a whole planet that was dominated by evil rulers.
Mm.
And we might have a whole planet that was oppressing its people. Now, we do see a lot of that around the world, but it's not universal.
Right.
And I'm thankful we live in a country where God has given us lots of freedoms.
Right. Where does it talk about the restrainer?
That's 2 Timothy, I think, chapter 2, the restrainer will be taken away.
Yeah. Right, so the restrainer is taken. So there is a restraining power, and that's part of God's sovereignty. God is restraining. What is that about? And then the restrainer gets taken away, and then, like, all heck breaks loose, right? All sin, all hell breaks loose,
right,
literally.
Right,
you
right,
know, the
right.
Sin kind of gets just unloosed.
Right, and again, this ties in with God is waiting until mankind's sins are filled up. And that's 2 Peter 3:9, basically, or 2 Peter 3:1-9, he's waiting until the point at which the sins of the world are filled up, and at that point, the tribulation is coming.
Right.
And then all this judgment is going to fall.
Right, right.
So, yes, God is sovereign, and God is in control, but God's actions are always based on his character, and we have limited free will. And our free will butts up against God's sovereignty. And God's sovereignty is always going to win. But God does give lots of free will. And we may marvel, why did he allow so much free will?
Right.
but it's limited. And even if we don't see its limitations, it's there. And we as believers, of course, we should be very glad that he's limiting our free will.
Right.
And we don't we look forward to the day when our free will be such that we're only going to will to do the good? I mean, once we get glorified bodies, we're never going to sin again. And we're not going to regret, oh, I wish I could still sin.
Right.
No, we're not going to think that way.
I wonder why God didn't just create us like that to begin with.
I've had that thought. But evidently, because this is the best way.
Yeah.
In other words, God knew all the combinations, all the possibilities, and he picked the best one.
I guess that's just something we need to just trust. You know, we just got to trust that, you know, that's what he did.
Right.
It's a mystery. I mean, I don't think we have really the answers to a lot of these things.
Right,
we're going
right.
to find out.
Yeah, one of the answers is I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand how you know, record player, you know, vinyl records.
Right.
I don't know how those work.
Oh, I don't
How am I going to understand God's sovereignty?
Right.
I'm trying to put in a ceiling fan.
I don't understand how electricity works.
Yeah.
You're putting in your own ceiling fan?
I'm trying to put in a ceiling fan, and having enormous amounts of trouble. I can't even put it in a ceiling fan, and I'm going to try to understand how God's sovereignty and man's free will works. Not this guy.
No.
I don't think... Some of you out there who know how to put in ceiling fans, well, you might have a little more courage than I do.
That's
you
right.
might think, no, I've got the sovereignty thing figured out.
If we hear that, you know, you got a minor electrocution and end up falling off a ladder and broke your leg, we'll know that it would have been better to hire somebody, Sean.
In my defense, I've put up at least three other ceiling fans and about maybe 8 to 10 lights in my house, and I do not know why this one is giving me trouble.
Okay, all right.
So maybe I can understand God's sovereignty a little bit.
Okay.
Well, if you have questions for one guy who can barely put up a ceiling fan
and another who couldn't possibly even screw in a light bulb,
then you could send them. We love hearing from you guys. Keep on sending your questions. We love wrestling with the questions that you are wrestling with. Keep on listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask the question, were Old Testament saints eternally secure? That is going to be an interesting conversation. You don't want to miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.